John chapter 15. If you're visiting with us or just joining us, we've been preaching through the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings for over a year now. And it's not boring because it's God's book. And it's uncanny, though, this morning, the text that we just find ourselves in. I couldn't have planned it if I tried, as you know, just preaching through the Bible like we're doing. But this passage we're reading this morning is one that is taken very often on Memorial Day weekend in churches, and there's good reason why. And so I'm sure the Lord just put that together for us today to emphasize it in our hearts. But John chapter 15, we'll start reading in verse 9. John 15 and verse 9, the Bible says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." This passage is about love. It's love in several different manifestations, but it's about love. There's a lot of talk about love in society. There's a lot about talk about love today, love of country. That's good. Love of country, they loved their country more than they loved their own life. Loving your family, we've talked about recently the love that we need in our homes and our families and some special meetings that we've had. But, you know, a lot of times what gets left out is the most important thing in the world. Some, you know, our society says it doesn't matter who you love. It does matter who you love. It is a very important thing who you love, because the Bible teaches us and the Bible shows us that really, the one that deserves love is God. The one that deserves to be loved is the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, many times, he's the one that is not loved. Someone else is loved, or something else is loved. But truly, people can't even understand or know love without God. The Bible says that love is of God. And the only way someone can have real love in their heart is to have the love of Jesus Christ in their heart, the love of the Lord in their heart. And so as we think about things this morning about love and even about sacrifice, as we'll be talking about the sacrifice that some have made for our country, but let's think about the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made for us. I want to say I appreciate anyone's sacrifice. You know, in this day and age of selfishness, which abounds, and it seems like the majority of all people, their life is just a life of complete selfishness. It's all about me. It's all about what I can gain or what I can get. It doesn't matter who I have to step on or what I have to do, because my life is about me and my gratification. And I'm glad that we had some people in our nation's history that didn't feel that way. They had to put their self aside for your benefit, my benefit, that we could be here today. But Jesus Christ was the ultimate example of all that. He sacrificed himself for us. And that's what this text talks about: his love, his sacrifice, his friendship. And I want to look at, first of all, would you look at verse 9 as we go through this text? The first thing I want to say about love is what Jesus says about love. Verse 9, the Bible says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now look at that next word. What is it? It's the word continue. Continue ye in my love. You know, if love doesn't last, it's really not love at all. if love can't go through heartaches and hard times and times of sacrificial needs, then it's not real. We have a generation that knows nothing about love. They say that a lot. Talk is very cheap. They talk about love, but you know that our world doesn't know about love because their relationships don't last. Their relationships don't last. If you love somebody, you'll stay with them. Well, I'm glad God's got that kind of love. God's got that kind of love for me. He stays with me. He loves me. Aren't you glad that the love of Jesus continues? It doesn't stop in a few bumps of your life or a few disappointments. How many times I'm sure God has been disappointed in the people that He's created, the people that He saved. And yet His love continues. And Jesus looks at His disciples and He says, as the Father's loved me, by the way, you know, the Father's love for the Lord Jesus Christ never stopped. The Father's love, you say, well, what about on the cross when He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, that was a rough time, but the Father's love didn't stop because it wasn't very long. He turned again and He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That was not a severing of any relationship, so to speak. The Father's love continued on the Son. He did all those things. He was always pleased with the Son. His love was always resting on His Son, even as He sent a dove down in the sight of all humanity so they would know the testimony that God's approval and God's love was always on Jesus Christ. But you know what Jesus said in our verse that we read? As my Father hath loved me, even so have I loved you. In other words, God the Father never stopped loving Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ never stopped loving His disciples. He never stopped loving those individuals. Even Judas, that was a devil from the beginning, when he meets Him in the garden, he's even going to call Him a friend. He's not going to bring judgment down upon his head. Why? Because the love of Jesus Christ continued. It did not stop. And oh, you ought to be thankful for that. We sang Wednesday night when we had a little children's time and recognized some of our children through their Wednesday night program and whatnot. As a church, we sang, Jesus loves me, this I know. I hope that never gets old to me. I hope that never gets old that Jesus Christ loved me. You'll never be able to say nobody cares for your soul. Jesus Christ's love continues for humanity even when they don't deserve it. And I would say this. He says, Jesus not only says, as the Father loved me, His love continued on me. So have I loved you. My love continues on you. But then He says, look at it. Continue ye in my love. Don't you quit loving. Boy, we live in a day of quitters. You know, so many things in the New Testament tells you to continue. Not just continue in love, but the Bible talks about continuing in prayer. You know why we quit praying? Because we quit loving the Lord. You can't fail to talk to somebody you love. Try that with your husband or wife for about a month. Right? You know, you can't just quit talking to someone unless your heart is not joined to them, unless your heart's not committed to them. The Bible says continue in love. It says continue in prayer. You say, preacher, why don't we have more people that pray? Because they quit. They quit loving the Lord like they ought to. The Bible tells us to continue in the faith. You ought never get satisfied with where your faith is. You ought to be growing. Your faith should be growing in the Lord. It ought to grow exceedingly, continuing in the faith, and watch it grow thereby. And the reason that we don't do that in the Christian life is because there's something wrong with our love relationship, or we would continue in the things of God. The Bible says, continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. Preacher, why do people not continue in the right doctrine and the right fellowship with God and fellowship with God's people? It's a heart problem. It's the same reason that husbands leave their wives and wives leave their husbands and children walk off and have nothing to do with their parents. It's a relation. It's something wrong in the heart, you see. And Jesus said, look, the Father's love stayed on me continually. My love stays on you continually. You need to continue in my love. Don't quit loving God, people. Don't quit loving God. And we're going to see in a minute, don't quit loving others. The Bible tells us to continue in the grace of God. Oh, don't be part of the quitters. that quit loving Jesus Christ. You know, this same author that wrote the Gospel of John wrote three little epistles and also the book of the Revelation. And John writes in 1 John 2:26, you know what he says? He said, you know, he said, if they had been of us, listen now, they would no doubt have continued with us. So you see, when you look, you know, it's easy to say, oh, how I love Jesus. Is your life, is your heart going to be continuing with God? You can't take the word love without sticking the word continue there. I love my family. I'm going to stay with them. I love my God. I'm going to stay with Him. I love the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stay with it. Stay with it. We heard not long ago about 75% of all young people come out of churches, never go back again. What's the problem? Say, well, we need to change things. Man, I read an article today that, man, it got my dander up. I almost wanted to preach on that. Hit national news. It said if the churches don't do something to be more relevant, if they don't change, they're all going to die. That was national news. We've got to be relevant. I tell you what. No, we don't need to be. You need to get relevant to God. Your life and your heart needs to love God enough to stay with God. Why did people leave? Not because, well, things weren't like they. No, it's a heart problem. I didn't come to church this morning for you. I came to church because I love Jesus. I love the Bible. I love the truth. I love the fellowship with God. I love to sing His praise. And I want to continue in that. Do you have a continuing love? I tell you what, you look at the world, you look at all their relationships, they just stop. They cut off like baloney, man. How many broken hearts and broken lives? Because what they thought was going to be happily ever after was about 2 years and a month. What's wrong? Somebody doesn't understand the love of God. You love the Lord? The Bible, Jesus said, continue ye in my love. So I see love and continue. You know what I thank God for? You think about that in the context of our Memorial Day here. Why? Can you tell me why? As those ships came into that harbor and those people were dropping from those planes on D-Day, why did they not stop? They saw people in front of them dying immediately. I mean, in some of those, I don't know what those little, what are those little transport ships called that come out of the big ship? I don't know what that's called, but what are they? Okay, thank you, brother. LPC, we got a veteran here. Amen. So here they come, and some of those guys with all that gear, as soon as they dropped down, they sunk straight to the bottom and died. And that happened time and time and time again. And a wave would hit the beach and they had died. Another wave would hit the beach and they died. Why did they not stop? Why did they continue? You know why it was? It was love. You say, well, it was love of country. I think it was even more than that. I think it was love of their buddies in arms. I think it was love for freedom. I think it was love for their families back home. Something made them keep going. And what I'm asking you this morning, is that what you have in your heart to make you keep going for God, for the truth? Do you love the Lord? Jesus said, I want you to continue in my love. I move on to the second thing. Would you look at it in verse 10? The Bible says in John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Look at verse 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. You know, a lot of times we don't put the word love with the word command. And thank God we have a military at least that knows how to take commands. And people, they got a command all the way to death and they follow through with it. Love is connected not only with continuance, but it's connected with commandments. That's a dirty word today. Because people don't want to be told what to do. There's no surprise why people don't like the Ten Commandments. And no surprise why people don't want anybody to be commanding them. You say, what's the problem? What is the problem? It's a heart problem. Because if you love God, you'll keep His commandments. This same writer says, In 1 John chapter, or 2 John, he says this. He says, and this is love. Now, let me ask you a question. If you would fill in the blank, what would you write? And this is love. Would you say goosebumps? What would you say? And this is love. What would you say? That feeling. What would you say? And this is love. You know what the Bible says? You know what God said? It's strange. He says, and this is love. Watch it. That we walk after his commandments. What a strange thing for God to say. That means if you're not doing what Jesus said, you don't love him. You don't love him. You said, preacher, can we just do all these things and not love God? Yeah, you can do what Jesus says and not love him. But you cannot fail to do what Jesus says and love him. I'll say that again if you missed that. You can do stuff and not love the one that told you to do it. But if you love the Lord, you will do the things he told you to do. Love and commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, there ought to be so many great motivations for us to do right. You ought to do right because you love God, but you ought to do right just because it's right to do. But your heart ought to push you to do right. And the reason people's heart doesn't push them to do right because their heart's somewhere else. Their heart's a long way away from where it ought to be. Love and commandments. What a strange combination. Are you willing to do what God says? You know what the greatest commandment is? The greatest commandment is, this same writer says, and this is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Son. You know that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent? You may be here this morning and say, preacher, I don't do what God tells me to do. Well, do the first thing God told you to do. And the first thing God told you to do was believe on his Son. Repent and acknowledge that you're a sinner and you need God. And believe on Christ and quit believing in you. Amen. Love and commandments. You know, he says not only just love me and do all I tell you to do, but he says down there in verse 17, these things I command you that you love one another. You know, he didn't just say quit being mean to each other. He said love each other. Love each other. But we live in a rotten world. We live in a nasty world. I mean, it'll chew you up and spit you out. What's the answer? Love God enough for him to change your heart so you can love somebody else. Love and commandments. You say, well, don't like them. Well, okay, you don't like them, love them. Amen. That's all right. Man, there's a lot of things I don't like, but I still have to do them. You may not like to brush your teeth, but I hope you don't quit. Right? What do you love? You say, well, I don't like her. I don't like him. Why don't you get over yourself? I'm glad God didn't look down and say, you know, that one right there, that one's fat, and that one's ugly, and that one's stupid. God didn't do that. God just says, I'll love all of them. I'll die for all of them. I'll give my life for all of them. I don't care if it's that color, they live over here, live over there, or their background was decent, or their background was putrid. I'll just show my love to them all. That's something real. That's the way God loves us. He says, why don't you listen to my commandment and love somebody else? Those commandments also, verse 16, he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now this is about their apostleship. This is not about their salvation. Jesus doesn't choose some people to be saved and choose other people to go to hell. He's not saying that. He chose them and ordained them that they would bring forth fruit. He chose them to preach, the Bible says. He ordained them to preach, Mark 3:14. He commanded them to preach. He commanded them to serve. He commanded them to live a life that would bring fruit to him. And so we have to put love with the commandment. And the commandment is, do what I say. Serve me. If we love God, we'll serve God. If we love God, we'll live our lives for God to bring fruit unto God. And fruit that will remain. Don't you want to do something be left from your life that God can remember? What was the quote in the bulletin I put? Was it Teddy Roosevelt who said that? Or Was that what, Theodore Roosevelt said, never throughout history has a man who lived a life of ease left a name worth remembering. Man, what a quote. You ought to read that one. Nobody even cares about you. You live for yourself. Memorial Day is about remembering people that put their self aside. And what did Jesus say to us as believers? He said, this do in remembrance of me. You know why? He set himself aside. He didn't live for himself. He died for you. He died for me. Oh, that I would live my life in service to God, to bring forth fruit unto God, that my life would be worth remembering. And sadly, some people's life is an existence that didn't even matter, because they sought no fruit for God. They didn't live for God. They lived for themselves. And so there's nothing worth remembering there. Jesus says, I've ordained you. When we ordain somebody, we put our hands on them. Jesus said, I put my hands on you guys. I've made a personal investment in you guys. I love you guys. And I want you to serve me and bring fruit for me. That, boy, that's what I want. I want to obey the commands of the Lord so that something can come out of my life that He appreciates. Lord, this is for you. This is my life for you. This is what's going to last and remain even after I'm gone, because I did it for you. I did it out of love for you and for what you told me to do. Would you look at verse 11? I've got to get a third thing. I see love in continuance. I see love in commandments. And a third thing, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You know, when you really get a hold of love, you know what else you'll get a hold of? You'll get a hold of some joy. You read that in the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the second thing? Joy. If you get a hold of God's love, you get a hold of God's joy. You say, preacher, why aren't people more joyful? Because they don't have the love of God in them. You said, preacher, I love God. Well, you can't be filled with the love of God and be filled with the love of the world. You know what we learned in Sunday school as little children? Y'all, tell me if y'all remember this. I'm in right, out right, up right, down right, happy old. Y'all remember that? I mean, we get involved in that. Since Jesus Christ came in and cleansed my heart from sin. Y'all remember that? I'm in right, out right, up right, down right, happy all the... Why? Because Jesus did something in me, and I'm excited about it. You remember this one? As kids, I've got the joy, 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 joy down... You remember that one? My heart. Where? And we say, down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down... Down in my heart to stay. And then what we do? And I'm so happy, so very happy. I tell you what, I look around. You know what I see? I don't see joy. I see long faces, longer than their noses. Amen. I see hearts despondent. I see people in the dumps. Jesus, look, Jesus is about to go to the cross. And He says, my joy, your joy. Look, we've got this picture maybe in our mind. Jesus is going to the cross and He's tortured. He is. And He dies a terrible bloody death and He dies. But you know what that book says about Him? While He was on that cross, He had joy set before Him. He didn't have His head down. He had His head up. His head didn't go down until He let it go down, brother. The Bible says when He bowed His head, He gave up the ghost. Until then, it was held high. You don't get tortured hanging on a cross with your head high unless you've got something real on the inside. And He had real love and real joy. He was thinking about you. He was thinking about His people. He was thinking about the people that He was going to change their life and those for which He would die. And it brought Him joy. It brought Him joy. You got joy this morning? You know, a lot of times soldiers, they got a lot of joy. They sometimes get out of bounds with it, you know. Just saying, that's true. How much joy do you have as a Christian? You say, preacher, what's wrong with me then? Well, you need to get to God. And I tell you what, the world won't give you any joy. And every dollar bill in this world that you can scrape up will not bring joy to your heart. You don't have to live very long to come to that conclusion if you're an honest individual. And I'm telling you, what people need is joy. And you have got to get to the love of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, to find that. In me you're going to have joy. In me you're going to have peace. Because it's not your joy, it's my joy. My joy, that's what he says in the verse. My joy might remain in you. Love. If you'll fall in love with Jesus Christ, he'll bring joy in your heart. And every relationship you try to have will not replace that treasured commodity of joy that you'll only find in Jesus Christ. That Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, whom having not seen, watch it, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, listen, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. You know that verse is so put together perfectly. He says ye love, and then he says ye rejoice. Everybody wants to be happy. There's only one way to be happy. And the foolish man spends his life away from the truth, trying to find joy and happiness, and he comes up miserable every time. And the one that finds the real joy is the one that comes to the love of Jesus Christ and loves the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and wraps their life up in him. You have that joy, joy, joy down in your heart? If we put you on the platform, would you say, I'm so happy? You say, preacher, that's silly. No, it ain't. It's silly to live a miserable life. It's silly to wrap your lives in things that will never satisfy you. You know, the longer I live, maybe those little Sunday school lessons had more truth in them than we thought. I'll give you a last thing. John chapter 15, the Bible says in verse 13, this is our verse, it's used so many times on Memorial Day, and fittingly so. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love hath no man. That's what I would title this message. Greater love hath no man. No man. There's not a greater love you can find. When somebody will lay down his life for his friends, that's the height of human love. Gave his life for his friends. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, it's one thing if a soldier, I was reading some of those accounts today, I was just trying to, you know, a lot of times, if we don't make ourselves, we'll forget all those stories. And I was reading some stories of sacrifice of some people that gave their lives for their comrades in arms and their buddies on the battlefield. You know, and some of them jumping on the grenade and saved people. And I was reading all that. And I thought about that. But I started thinking about, man, that's the greater love hath no man. They just, I mean, most of these people are young, you know. You understand? These people giving their lives, they're not like me. They're not 50. No, some of them are not even 20. They got their whole future, their whole life. See, they're giving more than just body. They're giving their future. They're giving everything. Why they do that? Greater love hath no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends. Those guys, I was reading about that guy, he jumped on that grenade and he saved all of his buddies all around him and he died. But you know what? He gave his life for his friends, and that's the height of human love. But you know what? If that's greater love hath no man, what kind of love did Jesus have for us? Because he does say, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I've commanded you. But how many of us do all that? You know, God doesn't have very many friends. Read the Bible. I challenge you to read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation and find out how many friends God had. There's one man that the Bible called the friend of God. That's pretty bad. You're God Almighty and you can only muster up one friend. Why? Because you're my friends, he says in this text. If you do whatsoever I've commanded you, most of us don't do that. He said, greater love. Why did Jesus say this? Greater love hath no man than this, and man lay down his life for his friends. But Jesus Christ is laying down his life for a whole lot more than friends, you see. He is going to go to the cross in spite of the fact that so many are not going to heed what he says or do what he says. He died not just for friends. Listen, he died for enemies. Listen, in your hearing in Romans chapter 5, the Bible said in verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Jesus Christ didn't lay down his life for a bunch of people that he went through boot camp with and that he grew up loving and got to know. He laid down his life for the ungodly. He laid down his life for the most despicable part of humanity. He laid down his life. He gave his life. He jumped on the grenade for the ones that are in the deepest part of the prison house. He went to the cross for the rapist and for the murderer and the child abuser, the sodomite, and every member of our society that we would classify as so awful. The prostitute and the drunkard and the pornographer and all these child molesters. He went to the cross and died for all of them. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for those that he was buddies with. He died for the ungodly. And you ought to thank God for that, because that includes you. Whatever you've done and wherever you are in life, Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. And I say, that is the greatest love. Not for a friend, but for an ungodly. An ungodly. The Bible says in verse 7 of Romans 5, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." There's your soldier. "Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die." That's our good military. But the Bible says, no, Jesus went much farther than that. "God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And he says, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if," listen, "if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved with his life." Would you think about this with me for a moment? Those wonderful heroic stories that should never be forgotten that bought our freedom to sit here today. We're all individuals giving their lives because they loved somebody that they were laying their life down for. Maybe family back home, as we've already said. But think about dying for those on the other side. Jesus Christ died for the enemies. Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. And the truth is, all of us were enemies of God. The book tells us that. You say, "Why am I an enemy of God?" Because you're a sinner, and God, and sin is at enmity one with another. And yet Jesus said this: "I'll step in the gap, and I'll jump on the grenade, and I'll lay down my life, and I'll go to the cross, and I'll take your sin. I'll take your, though you hate me, though you hate God, though you're against God, though you've never humbled yourself, though you've never repented, I'll go to the cross. I'll bear the shame. I'll lay down my life for you." Jesus died for the whole world. And there's so much part of this world that hate him and use his name as a curse word and say such vile things about our Savior and about our God and about the truth. And Jesus said, "Yeah, those people too, I died for them too." You talk about greater love hath no man. Now let me ask you a question. That's the greatest love in the universe. Why wouldn't you run to that love? Why wouldn't you come to a love that wants to be your friend, though you are his enemy? Why wouldn't I want to be the friend of God? Why? Because he laid down his life for me. In spite of the fact that he says down here about friends, he said, "Look, I'm going to tell you everything about the Father because you're my friends now. You're not just my servants, you're my friends." I mean, servants just do what they're told. "But I love you so much, I'm giving my life to you. And I'm going to show you all things. I'm going to give you knowledge and understanding because I love you that much." Memorial Day, I think we need to remember Jesus. And I think maybe we go through our lives and we forget Jesus. And I think we go through our lives and we forget about that great sacrifice and how he never stops in his love. You know, that book says that this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, and he ever lives to make intercession. Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father, he never gets tired of praying for you because he loves you. He never gets tired of asking sinners to come to him because he loves them. Oh, what a Savior. What joy. What permanence in relationship. What friendship awaits that we who are enemies can be called the friends of God. But yet my heart has to join up with that love. Do you love him this morning?